Well, thank you. Kyle, you're here from Anchorage. And those listeners who have not heard ukulele played quite like that have just experienced something that I experienced recently when a well-known musician from the islands, Jake Shimabukuro, was in town, and we were treated to an amazing performance. Yeah. Kyle, you've come out here to share a little bit of ukulele. And also to share something about the place of ukulele in your life, as well as the music scene here in Alaska. How is it that you and a ukulele have met and progressed this far?
Well, it's funny you start out by, you know, mentioning Jake. I mean, he's pretty much king of the world right now in this ukulele revival. He's not always been, and I don't think he doesn't see himself that way. I mean, he looks at Eddie Kamai and some of the people that he learned from in the islands as being more influential. But there's been a lot of revivals in there. There's, you know, even it was Elvis in the 50s, right, with Arthur Godfrey. There's been a series of these ukulele revivals. This one really, you know, whether he likes it or not, really does kind of center around him and what he was able to do with the ukulele as far as bringing it out as a solo instrument. So, you know, the concert you're talking about, when I went to that concert and I got to see, he did the pre-concert lecture. You know,
right.
You get to see everybody out there, and I'm just talking about him and giving an overview of the ukulele. And I'm just thinking out in that crowd, the people I'm talking to, I'm like, you would not be here if this was a classical guitarist, you know, and the guitar is where I'm coming from. I have a great love for the classical guitar, but in some ways, I think that the golden age of that has kind of, you know, Andre Segovia has disappeared, and so you're able to pack the Anchorage Concert Hall with people from all ages. When Jake Shimabukuro shows up, doesn't sing, you know, he's an acoustic instrumental performer.
Right.
I mean, he does some pop songs in there, but largely, I mean, some of these are just instrumentals, finger style, beautiful melodies. But with a different instrument, you just wouldn't get the same instrument. If it's a guitar, for instance. And, you know, so for me, I think, you know, in part of this, it just gets to be part of the culture. I've been playing it I messed around with a guitar when I went to Hawaii ages ago, even before I played with it.
Right.
But I come home, you know, I'm a kid, I'm like junior high. I come home from Hawaii, you don't know how to even tune the thing. And so it just gets to be a toy. And so I went to the guitar. And what brought me back really was teaching elementary music. Right now I'm teaching ukulele and guitar at East High School.
Okay.
It's a dream job. It's so much fun. But I start off in elementary, which is also really fun. You got all these kindergartners there.
Right.
And I opened up my first year. I inherit this classroom from this older lady. And she's got all of these auto harps and all these instruments. And way back in the corner had never been touched before. So this is 9 years ago. It is sort of not really in the height of the ukulele revival. And I see these boxes of ukes. And I pull these out. And I had tried the recorders with the kids.
Right.
You know, the recorders just gave me a headache. I had tried those auto harps with the kids and some of these other instruments and drums and percussion. It's all good. Kids like to make their noise. But something happens when you put this uke in their hands. And I'm doing this with kindergartners, right? With a kindergartner,
right.
You can teach them one little C chord and they just strum away and they think they're a rock star. And as a teacher, you know, personally, I'm like, it doesn't kill my ears. So I taught that for years. And after a little while, I think I just got more serious about it.
Well, and one thing about this, I'm here in the studio, and I'm seeing you with what looks like a mini guitar.
Ah.
I mean, and I'm thinking kids who are in kindergarten are mini-sized, and so the ukulele would be just sized nicely, I would think, in some respects. But tell me if I'm a little bit wrong with that.
Well, I think there's five different sizes of ukulele. When they invented the thing, of course, it migrated from Portugal. And they modified a couple of other instruments, the berguina and the cavaco. And when they essentially invented the ukulele, it came in one size. But when they started expanding in the size that you have, that you see me with, they named that original size the soprano. So that's what these kids are playing. You've got an elementary school kid, they're going to do just fine with soprano. I have a 9-year-old, and he's learned how to play the Star Wars theme song. And I've taught him how to do this on a concert size. Next size up, a little bit bigger.
Okay.
And at 9, you know, that's the age they can start playing a slightly bigger size. But the one you see me with is called tenor guitar.
Okay.
And that's the size that you see Jake Sherman-Pakuro. This has been a big focal point in the modern revival, is this is a little bit deeper sound. And mm-hmm. you can do a lot more with.
So how many ukuleles do you have? Do you personally own?
Oh, that's, I don't know. I it depends if my wife is listening to the show.
Oh, okay. We can dump this portion of it. But you have more than one ukulele.
Yeah, you know, my favorite one that I always go to is this Pono ukulele. It's a spruce top. Mm-hmm. I play a lot of the classical, I come at the ukulele from a different perspective in a lot of people. So I like the classical ukes. I have some of the traditional ones, a Kamaka ukulele at home and a Kanalea. They make these out of this koa wood. So it's a lot more of a dulcet sound, mm-hmm. really good strumming instruments that a lot of people play. And those are fun too. But
so as a music teacher who had previous experience and exposure to a variety of instruments, as you moved toward the ukulele, did you find yourself in need of specific instruction, or were you able to just transition from your previous experience into work with it?
Boy, the answer, I think, is probably a little of both. It is very different, and yet it's very similar. So there's not a lot of ukulele teachers in town for me to
right.
go to. So you'd go to the concert, you try to meet Jake Sherman-Pakuro when he comes in town, or you try to, but there's just not a lot of individual instruction when I was starting off. Luckily, there's a lot of good stuff on the web, and there's a huge crossover coming from the guitar. A lot of people don't realize, if you take the guitar and you capo the fifth fret,
mm-hmm.
the top four strings are My Dog Has Fleas.
Okay.
So that's it, with the exception of the funny thing about the uke is, like, it's got a banjo string on it. If you listen to the My Dog Has Fleas, this little my string is
right.
higher than dog.
Right.
And that's not like the guitar. The guitar is a regular one, not a re-entering instrument. You have low to high, but this odd string, that's what I love about it the most, I have to tell you.
A little bit of contrast there.
Well, it allows you to do something that you can't do on the guitar since the Baroque era. They have, in the Baroque era, they had several different types of guitars.
Mm-hmm.
But the Gaspar Sanz, and one of the ones he composed for us, was a reentrant guitar. So it had this banjo string. The guitar way back in the Baroque era also had this. So a lot of those songs that they play with, that you play, they use this technique called campanella. And that's really where when I found out about this, I really fell in love. I was just gone head over heels about it. There's this technique that is essentially turning your instrument into a harp-like sound. This is what I mean. When you do do re mi fa sol la ti do on a typical instrument, it's going to sound like this. Typical do. That's just do re mi fa sol la ti do. But because we have this, we have two strings that are so similar. One's a G, one's an A. They're very mm-hmm. similar. One's on string one, one's string four. You can kind of hop back and forth. And while you play the other one still rings.
Ring.
And then
right.
you go back, and then maybe you play a middle note. And so you have this ringing sound. When you do this in that same scale, in a campanella style, you hear it ring out a little more. Right? And that shows up in instrumentations. There's been some people arranging specifically for that campanella style, and those are a lot of fun to listen to.
So, Carl, earlier you spoke about revivals, over time, the ukulele has come up. It's maybe moved a bit in the background, come back up again, and we're now in a revival period as such. If someone here as a musician is interested in the ukulele, what's their best approach? If they're doing already some other string instrument, they want to transition a bit, they want to explore, they want to do that kind of thing, What would you recommend to a person who's not a music teacher or not involved directly in a music program at a university level or something of that sort? How would you say there's a good way for someone to explore the ukulele?
Well, first they got to get the instrument, right? Can't play an instrument if you don't get it. In town, there's pretty much all of the music stores in town anywhere have discovered that that's what people want to buy. So you'll see a couple of them in any music store. The biggest selection in this area, I definitely have, I was just there yesterday, is Mammoth Music.
Okay.
And there's nice guys down there. They have 200 ukulele, different types.
Wow.
And so this is something that I would say. So you got to get your uke. You might be interested.
Sure, sure.
Borrow one.
That's a good place to start.
And make sure you get the right size. Like, you know, try all the different sizes. Some people want a baritone, which is even larger than the one I play.
When you say larger, just what are we talking about? An inch, a fraction of an inch? How much bigger?
It is the baritone ukulele is the same thing as if you snipped off two strings on a guitar.
Okay,
it is a whole different animal in some ways. The relationship of the string is still the same, but when you play a G chord on the ukulele, it's going to be a D. So all your shapes you can kind of transfer, but. Yeah, that's not the one I would actually recommend, because when you go into uke, you're going to, you know, you play somebody else's uke, it just won't sound the same.
Okay, got that. Understand.
So I would say once you get your uke, most people are going to head online. Most people are going to get some books online. I would say some of my favorite author for ukulele stuff is a guy named Fred Sokolow, S-O-K-O-L-O-W. He has a lot of guitar stuff. He has great ukulele, blues ukulele books, some bluegrass stuff. Mm-hmm. And once you get a good book, the nice thing about uke is they're going to teach you with pictures, just like a guitar. Here's a little chord shape, a little picture of where to put your fingers. And with ukulele, because of this funny string, most of these books don't really expect you to read music, even as a teacher. Right. In my guitar classes at East for years, I've never used tablature, right? Because it just, once kids learn tablature, they never learn to read notes. But because of this reentrant string, this is pretty much ubiquitous in the ukulele music. Anything you buy is going to have tablature. It's either just going to be strumming chords or it's going to have tablature. And both those things are really easy to understand. So you're going to get that book. Taking a class. I was coming and telling you next week on the 22nd, I have a class from UAA Continuing Ed Department.
Right.
I know it's a little hard. You're going to put a link on your website or something for it. It's kind of hard for people to find. It's not in the main catalog, but we have a 5-week class. This is a perfect introductory class for people. It's not a big commitment. You know, 5 Saturdays, bring your Bingry instruments, $100.
Okay, so this is a new, and this is the first time it's been done?
That's right. The Continuing Ed Department just started this up.
Okay, a 5-week ukulele class at UAA. And it's going to cover playing chords, strumming, finger-picking patterns, reading the tablature. But you have to, as a student, bring your own ukulele.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not that I don't have extras, but... Yeah,
I understand that. And it looks like it starts Saturday.
Well, yeah, the 22nd. We had a session earlier. The 22nd. And if you keep looking for it, we're going to do some over the summer.
Okay. And you have to be at least 13?
You know, I've talked to them about that.
It's interesting.
That's their general policy for a lot of their classes, and we might loosen that up a little bit. But I think what we're going to do is make one of these specifically designed for the kids in the summer.
Okay.
And so that won't be a hard and fast rule. That'll be specifically for kids.
I'm thinking there'd be quite a bit of interest. We obviously do summer programs out here in the Valley, we'll talk about that at another time. When we started this whole discussion, though, prior to that, you played a little piece. It was a Bach piece.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You did a nice little section there. Mm-hmm. And the reason we wanted to do that was perhaps that people would, as they listened, would think, oh, okay, that is that's interesting, and maybe not fully understand as they were listening that it was a ukulele. Because it didn't have what perhaps in many people's minds is a ukulele sound. So you can range across a lot of different kinds of music. You play some classical pieces, obviously. What do you focus personally on when you play the ukulele? What's your favorite genre, if you will, or direction to go when you're you're doing this?
I can't get away from the classical stuff, to be honest with you. A lot of the jazz stuff is fun, and we do pop songs. You know, as a teacher, mm-hmm. I get a huge amount of joy. I have a ukulele ensemble at East High School, and so we're performing. Okay. We have a couple gigs around. Just a couple weeks ago, and I'll send you the link, we did an all-Beatles concert. I had an eight-part arrangement of five Beatles songs, and so they're doing, the link I'm going to send you is Day in the Life. They had heard the news today, oh boy, right? About a lucky man who made the grade.
Right.
We did the entire thing. You know that orchestral section in the middle? There's those crazy, and Paul McCartney says to the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, just start at your lowest note, go up to an E, and there's 10 measures, I'll cut you off. We can't tell that to kids. They don't know what to do. And so I orchestrated out, and so if I show you the YouTube link, it's hilarious. And we did that thing note for note, no singers. Because what I discovered is you can have a ukulele ensemble. You put one singer, you get 1,000 ukuleles. You put one singer, no one cares about the ukuleles anymore.
Right.
So we perform without a singer.
Sure.
But it's just kids playing the melody to it, and it's really fun. That's what I get my joy out of, too, as far as teaching kids and performing, too. Performing the ukulele ensemble is such a joy. You know, people love to see it, but personally, when I go out, if I play a gig or something, it's the classical stuff is just, it's so challenging. And like I said, the campanella stuff, the Bach piece that you talked about, is a campanella arrangement of that. And it has a very distinct sound. You can't really get it out of a guitar, right? You can't do that on a guitar. You can play that song on a guitar, not quite going to sound the same. And so...
Okay. Well, we're about ready. If your fingers are limbered up a bit,
I don't know. You know, it's early in the morning. I can't say it's going to be mistake free.
Do you want to describe what you're going to play here a little?
Well, this is the Bach prelude, his famous prelude. It's originally in G. This is cello prelude.
Okay.
Number one, and it's pretty much if you watch a movie and somebody's playing cello, mm-hmm. this is the song they're playing.
Okay, and of course I was there recently at the PAC with the Portland group. I saw them. There were five cellists all at once up. They were extraordinary. I might have mentioned to you before the show, one of them picked up a ukulele just mm-hmm. prior to that evening's performance and brought it right in. It was extraordinary.
Yeah, it's the world's friendliest instrument. You know, you can pick this thing up, have more joy in 2 weeks than you can get about 6 months of playing guitar.
Okay.
You know, that's what they say.
Okay. Well, here we go.
All right. Well, here we go. Wish me luck.
Wonderful. Thank you. Kyle Schweitzer from Anchorage, a music teacher at East High School, who's been in here talking about the ukulele, a place in his own life, a place in the music world here in Alaska. Kyle, any last things you want to share with us before we finish up?
No, other than just, hey, go out there, buy a uke, play a uke. And I think I just, you know, one thing, if I can share a story, is that I think this is the reason I like this instrument so much is not because I can, challenge myself playing some classical guitar. It's really just seeing somebody else who would be scared to death of touching a violin, right? Would never dream of trying to play the piano. But you put a ukulele in their hands, and all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if you make a mistake, right? It's such a forgiving instrument. So if you have no interest in music, this is your instrument, right? This is going to be the gateway. I like to tell the story of my sister who I stole her guitar when I was in junior high because she wasn't playing it, right? I took to it, and I played for a long, went to college and did all this with the guitar. And she kind of struggled with it. She put it down, picked it up, hooked it, never could really get anywhere with it. But once she saw me get into ukulele, she bought a ukulele. And I bought a nicer ukulele, and she bought that nicer ukulele. And a couple years after her really getting back into ukulele, you know what she did? She bought herself a nice little mini Taylor guitar, and she found that all the skills that she'd built up on that ukulele basically transferred back to the guitar. She was able to build up her skill, and now she doesn't play ukulele near as much as she felt. Finally, she plays her dream instrument via ukulele. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's what I think of it as. It's a gateway instrument to whatever else you want to do with music.
Okay. Well, Kyle, we have time for an exit piece.
Oh.
Is there something you want to take us out with?
Okay. Well, what about something fancy? I was playing some of the Bach. It was putting me asleep for a second. So okay. I'm going to try something fancy. That was, this is a piece by Taroba that I arranged called Alcazar de Segovia, dedicated to Andre Segovia.
Okay.
And this is my ukulele interpretation.
All right. Well, thank you for coming, and let's go out with this piece.
Thanks, Mike.